the Talmud Torah applies to all of the parshiyos, including Bereishis as well. We're supposed to not just read Kriya Sator, we're supposed to delve into the parsha to learn things from here. The Gemara Chagig in the beginning of the second parak. Talmud Torah applies to all of the parshiyos, including Bereishis as well. We're supposed to not just read Kriya Sator, we're supposed to delve into the parsha to learn things from here. The Gemara Chagig in the beginning of the second parak, the Mishnah starts off, Ein Dorshim Emaisa Bereishis Bishnayim, that you have to be careful about learning parts of parshas Bereishis. There is a restriction. So the Gemara says, how do we know there is such a restriction? What you're allowed to learn, what you're not allowed to learn? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Parshas Veskanan. The pasuk is introducing the story of Maimon Har Sinai. If you'll start delving into ancient history, the Minayama Shabor Hashem Odom Al Horz, the Mikzeh Hashemayim, Vat Kitzeh Hashemayim. If you delve into all of history since the time that God created Adam Arishon, was there ever such a thing like Maimon Har Sinai? This is the first time, the one and only time in the history of the world. Hashem Amko Lelekim Medaber Metecho Eish Anisa Lekim Lobo Lekachas Lazvoi Mekir Atoha Reis El Adaz Ke Hashem Tuhu Lekim Men Hashamayim Mishmiyako Eskolo Liyasrepa and so on. So the Gemara understands from this pasuk, Kishi Alnoli Yamimu Shalim Shehayu Lepanecho, if you want to study the past, to delve into the past, there is a restriction. The men Oyama Shabar looking more than Al Horitz. You're not allowed to delve into what happened in the first 6 days of Riyas Shemayim Va'oritz. The learning in depth, the Iyun, is supposed to begin from Riyas Adam Rishon. And that's how the Medrash comments on this parsha. Each day something was created, and then on the 6th day it says, so the Medrash comments on this pasuk that this is the turning point. Adkan, up until this point, we have to observe the pasuk that says, Kvod Elokim Hester Dodo, that is the glory and the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we should keep everything secret. And Mikan Mielach, starting by the Chul Hashmayim Ba'aretz V'chol Tzvam, after Adam Rishon was created, that's from now on, from this point on, we have to delve into everything and study all of the world, all of nature, and study all of the halachas, whatever it says in the Torah. From here on, we have to fulfill the other pasuk, Kvod Malachim Chakor Dovar. That it's the glory of the kings if you delve into what they have to say. So here it's the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should delve into what happened after Adam Rishon was created. Why does it switch at that point? Why is up until the point of Riyas Adam Rishon is Kvod Elokim Chakor Hester Dover? From the point of Riyas Adam on, is Kvod Malachim Chakor Dover. So the Pashtus is because Ein Melech B'Loyom, that the term Melech only applies after Adam Rishon was created. Before Adam, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't really Melech HaEl. He was a Lekit. Reish is Bor Lekit. After Adam Rishon is created, then you have a concept of Melech, Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then you speak about Kvod Malachim Chakor Dover. From that point on, there's an inyan to delve into everything. So to study about the Big Bang, to try to figure out how the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world and how things happened, according to this Mishnah, according to the Mishnah beginning of the second parak in Chagiga, is not permissible. We're supposed to spend our time studying all of science and Torah, whatever, as it's presented after Adam Rishon was created already. The Gemara in different places, in the end of Sanhedrin and in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara quotes a debate among the Tanoim. 60 years after the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash, the second Beis Hamikdash was rebuilt. And that's how they were told in advance, that after 70 years, the second Beis Hamikdash would be built. So they were Tanoim who thought that the same would repeat itself after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. There would be, everything would be returned again after 70 years. So about approximately 70 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni, Rabbi Akiva thought that Bar Kochba's revolt was going to get somewhere, and he supported Bar Kochba, and he thought Bar Kochba may turn out to be the Melech HaMashiach, and that's why they called him Bar Kochba, Dorach Kochba Miyankit, the Pasuk in Parshas Balak, where Bilam HaRosha gives the Nevuah about Bias HaMashiach, describes Mashiach as Dorach Kochba Miyankit. Apparently his real name was Bar Kuziva, Shimon Bar Kuziva, and Bar Kochba was the nickname. Based on that Pasuk, Dorach Kochba Miyankit. So the other Tanoim disagreed with Rabbi Akiva. The Rambam writes as if Rabbi Akiva v'chol chachmei doro, all the Rabbanim of that generation all assumed that Bar Kochba was the Melech HaMashiach. That's how the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Malachim. When he quotes all the passages from Tanakh and from the Gemara, he gives you a leaflet about the Bias HaMashiach, the last section, the last few chapters in the Rambam, in the Mishnah Torah. So he describes it as if Rabbi Akiva and all the Chachamim all thought that Bar Kochba was going to turn out to be the Melech HaMashiach. And the Gemara, especially the Yerushalmi, it doesn't appear so at all. It sounds like Rabbi Akiva was the minority opinion. All the others, Bishas Maisa, disagreed with him. And they told him, you're way off. Yalu asabim bilchayecho, v'adayim ben David lo bo. Rabbi Akiva, they said, with all due respect, you're going to be buried, you're going to die, you're going to be buried, you're going to be pushing daisies. Grass is going to be growing on top of your body. Yalu asabim bilchayecho. A long time to go, v'adayim ben David lo bo. How do they know that Mashiach is not going to come? Can anybody say for sure that today, Yalu asabim bilchayecho, Mashiach is not going to come, not today, not tomorrow, not the next day? How do you know? We assume, like the Rambam writes, Achakala b'chol yom she'ava, it's possible, a 50-50 chance. Mashiach may come any day of the year. How do we know? How did they know at that time? How did the other Tanoim know? So the Gemara explains that they had a tradition, which Rabbi Akiva disagreed with. They said that they had a serious tradition that the world is going to last for 6,000 years from the time of Riyas Adam Arishan on. And the 6,000 years has a breakdown of three different parts. The first 2,000 years is Tohu, nothing going on. The next 2,000 years is going to be Torah. And the next 2,000 years is going to be Yemos HaMashiach. So what do you mean? What happened in the year 2000? What major event occurred in the year 2000 that's the beginning of Torah? So the Gemara makes a cheshbon that Avraham Avinu was born in the year 1948, the Bria Soilu. If you make the calculation, it's plain arithmetic. You just keep on adding on. How old was Adam Arishan when Shais was born? Adam, Shais, Enosh, and so on. Go down till Avraham Avinu. So Avraham Avinu was born in the year 1948 with Bria Soilu. So that's 1948. So what happened when he was 52 years old? What happened in the year 2000? So the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, HaNefesh Asher Asa B'choron, that Avraham Avinu was Megayris Anoshim, Sarah Megayris Anoshim, that he was preaching monotheism. First he had to be convinced himself that monotheism is correct. And then when he got up enough courage to preach this to the public, so then the Pesukim say, HaNefesh HaShor Asa B'choron. So the Gemara says, Gemiri, we have a tradition. In the Tanakh it doesn't say. We have an oral tradition that Avraham Avinu was 52 years old when he started preaching monotheism to the public. And that's the Pshat, that's the beginning of the Shnei Alafim Torah. Up until, in other words, when Avraham Avinu was convinced himself of monotheism, that's not yet Torah. If you keep it to yourself, it's not Torah. If you preach it to others, that's the beginning of Torah. And then the Shnei Alafim Torah lasted till the year 4000. The year 4000, Lebrias Oilam, Lebrias Adam Arishon, began a new tkufa of Yemos HaMashiach. What do you mean Yemos HaMashiach? That it's possible for Mashiach to come. Now, when was the year 4000? What happened in the year 4000? The Bias Olam. The way we calculate, we may be a little off, but the way we calculate, we assume that 1940, now it's the year 2002, no? The Christian calendar. So the way we usually assume the year 1940 was the year 5700. That was the year 5763, because it's 63 years after 1940. So the way we calculate, so the year 2000, the year 4000, was where the beginning of the Tkufa Yemos HaMashiach corresponded to the year 240. If you go back, go back from 1940, everything is going to be 1840, 1740, 1640. All the hundreds, all the centuries are going to begin with the corresponding to the Goyish date. It's going to be a 40. So if you just go back, you roll it back. So in the year 240, that's the beginning of the 2,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach, that there's a possibility Mashiach come, may come. But Rabbi Akiva with Bar Kochva were way before the year 240. They were approximately 70 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni. Churban Bayis Sheni is around the year 70. So 70 years later was the year 140. It was 100 years before, 100 years before the Tekufa of Yemos HaMashiach. So that's why the other Tanaim disagreed with Rabbi Akiva. They said, you're dead wrong. Ya'alu asavim b'l'chayech ha'adayim ben David lobo. That they had this tradition that Mashiach is not going to come before the Shnei Alofim and Mos HaMashiach. After the Shnei Alofim, after the beginning of the Shnei Alofim and Mos HaMashiach, after the year 240, then Mashiach can come any day. Achakol ha'b'chol yom shiyav. Nobody can predict today to someone else, Ya'alu asavim b'l'chayech ha'adayim ben David lobo. How does anybody know? Maybe Mashiach is going to come today. Hayom ha'mekol ha'shmo. The Gemara says that one of the Chachamim met Mashiach and he asked him, when is he coming? So he says, Hayom. He says, Hayom? Well, he got all excited. He says, Hayom and Mikol Das Shmo. If you listen to the Bnei Shlom's mitzvahs, he'll come today. It means, Chaklo v'chol yom shiyavet. There's a possibility Mashiach can come every day. So why were they so convinced? Rabbi Akiva thought that this Bar Kochva was going to turn out to be the Melech HaMashiach. And the others were convinced it can't be because they thought you have to have these God's plan in the history of the world. That's what we assume. We assume that, first of all, the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, Yesh Me'ayin. It didn't happen by itself. Secondly, when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, he created it bereshis. And Rashi quotes in the Medrash, Bishvil Yisrael and Bishvil HaTorah. Bishvil Yisrael Shenikru Reishis. Kodesh Yisrael Hashem Reishis Tvuasoy. And Bishvil HaTorah Shenikru Reishis. Where's the Torah Nikru Reishis? Hashem Kanoni Reishis Darkoy. Rashi quotes all the psukim from the Medrash that when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, he created it with a purpose and he had a plan and he guides all of the history. The Gemara says in a few places, Zeh Sefer told us Sodom, the Yom Baros Hashem Alakim Adam Al Ha'aretz. So the Gemara comments on the pasuk, Zeh Sefer told us Sodom, that this refers to the Sifrei Shel Adam Arishon. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu formed the body of Adam Arishon, Ofer Min Adama, he told him already at that time, he revealed to him a book that contained the history of the world. What do you mean the history of the world? It just began. How can I have a whole history of the world? No, the Medrash says the Ribbono Shel Olam had the whole history all charted out. People have Bechira Chavshis, but there's restricted, there's limited Bechira Chavshis, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is guiding everything in a certain direction. He wants everything to go in a certain direction. So the Gemara says that this Sifra Shalot HaMarishon has HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed to the HaMarishon has contained within it the whole direction that all of the history of mankind will have, and the history of the Jewish people, and the history of the development of the halacha, the development of the Torah as well. A lot of times you have a machloikis, all the time. You have, in every generation you have a machloikis among the rabbanim. So you wonder, a lot of times you think the accepted opinion maybe is not correct. Maybe this is the wrong opinion. Maybe the whole Torah is being distorted. So the Chazal say, no, the Torah is not being distorted. The Ribbono Shel Olam is watching out for his Torah. He's going to see to it that the opinion that he wants, the opinion that he feels is the more correct opinion that should be accepted, will be the opinion that will be maintained over the generations. So the Gemara quotes snatches from this Sifra Shel Adam HaRishon. The Gemara has a lashon that the Gemara says contained in the Sifra Shel Adam HaRishon is the story about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is going to be razzle-dazzle and he's going to know the whole Torah Shabbat Peh and he's going to be transmitting the Torah. And the Ribbono Shel Olam showed this to Adam Arishon, Zeh Sefer Shel Adam, Zeh Sefer told the Son, he showed it to Moshe Rabbeinu also. And Moshe Rabbeinu was surprised. He said, what are you giving the Torah through me? Give the Torah through this person, Rabbi Akiva. He says, he's much greater than me. The Ribbono Shel Olam shows him that Rabbi Akiva is going to give this big shiur, he's going to transmit the Torah. And included in the Sefer Shel Adam Arishon is the horrid death, the tortures that Rabbi Akiva is going to suffer. This was all planned in advance. So Moshe Rabbeinu says it doesn't make sense. Rabbi Shalom says, don't ask any questions. This is my plan in the world. This is all part of the plan. And then the Gemara says also included in the Sifra Shel Adam HaRishon is that Rabbi Nosson is Sof HaMishnah. That's going to be the end of the Tkufas HaTanoim. It's going to be Tanoim, it's going to be Amaroi. Rabbi Nosson Sof HaMishnah. Ravida Ravashi Soifai Roa, that's going to be the end of the Kufa Samaroi. And then in every generation, there are sections that are quoted, very, very little is quoted in the Gemara. Most of the Tanaim and Amoraim had no access to this Sefer Shalat HaMarishim. But some of them did. So the Gemara says one line and it says that there's going to be two scholars. One is going to be Rab, one is going to be Shmuel. Rab is going to get smicha, and Shmuel is not going to get smicha. Chacham Yiskiri, Rebbe Lo Yiskiri. That's the Gemara in the end of Bab Metzia on Daf Pei Vav, Daf Pei Hei. That they felt bad when Rab and Shmuel both left the yeshiva to go back to Babylon and to be Marbit Torah there. To each one made a different yeshiva in a different city. There were Amaratzim in Babylon. So when they came, they made a tremendous Habotos HaTorah, each in a different city. So Rab got smicha before he left, and Shmuel was also interested in getting smicha. So every day there was some other ikuv, and then he left. He couldn't wait any longer. He left, and he never got smicha. You can only get smicha if you're in Eretz Yisrael. No, you can't confer smicha in Chutz La'aretz. So they felt bad about it. Why? Just due to circumstances, he didn't happen to get the smicha. So somebody told the Rabban they shouldn't feel bad, that they saw this line from the Sefer Shalat HaMarishon that Shmuel is going to come a generation. Shmuel is going to be Chacham Yiskiri, Rebbe Lo Yiskiri. That's the Rabban Shalom's plan. And then the development of the whole history of the world and the history of the halacha and so on. So we believe that that there certainly is such a plan. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, in the first pair, quotes a braisa that was composed before the year 240. All the Mishnayos, Rabbi Yudan Nasi died before the year 240. He died around approximately the year 220. That's how they write in the history books. So the Gemara in the first pair in Avodah Zarah, around Daf Yud, quotes a braisa that was composed a few years before the year 240, where the Tanoim recommend you better not buy real estate in Chutz La'aretz after the year 240, because Mashiach may come any time. He hasn't come yet. Since the year 240, it's already almost 2,000 years later. He hasn't come, but the Gemara says he may lose your pits. You're going to buy real estate in Chutz La'aretz. Then Mashiach can come today, and then the Goyim will know that you're going to Eretz Yisrael, everybody's going to leave, and you sell it for a dollar, for less than a dollar. Who's going to want to pay any money? They know that that you're in a rush to leave, to go back to Eretz Yisrael. So the Tanaim recommend that during this period of the Shnei Halachim in Mosa Mashiach, it's not wise to buy real estate. Okay, that was their suggestion. They thought that you may lose money. You may lose money. What exactly does it mean, Shnei Halachim Torah? The Maharshoy asks on the Gemara, what do you mean? Shnei Halachim Tohu was up until the time that Avraham Avinu was on Nefesh HaShoras B'choron, until the time that he was declaring monotheism to the public, till he was teaching Torah to the rabbis. And why does the Gemara have this tradition, Shnei Halachim Tohu, that's it? And then in the year 240, that was the end of the Torah. So the Maharsha says, but I'm still here. Ohle Amorayim were after the year. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi died in the year 220. So all the Amorim, Ruba the Ruba of the Amorim, were after the year 240. So how can you say that there's no more Torah? Shiva University, Torah center of the world. How can it be that there's no Torah after the year 240? So the Marsha says, no, it doesn't mean that. It means that before the year 2000, it was Olam, there was Tohu. After Avraham Avinu started preaching at the age of 52, he started preaching HaNefesh HaShoras B'choron. He's preaching monotheism to the population. So that's the beginning of Torah. And then the Torah continues on. The Torah is going to last on for the last, for all the 4,000 years. Yimos HaMashiach is only the last 2,000 years. The possibility that Mashiach will come, that's what the Tanoim, who disagreed with Rabbi Akiva, thought, that the possibility of coming on Mashiach, that only begins after the year 240. That can't be before that day. That's how the Maharsha says. The Chazanish doesn't agree. Quotes the Maharsha, he doesn't agree. He thinks that just like Shnei Halachim Tohu means that's all, only those 2,000 years had Tohu. Shnei Halachim Mimos HaMashiach means only those 2,000 years have the possibility of Mimos HaMashiach, according to the opinion of those Tanoim. So the Shnei Halachim Torah means only those 2,000 years have the Torah. Aye, but I'm still here. The Chazon Ish is still here. He's way after the year 4,000. So he thinks that it means something else. He thinks that it means to develop new concepts in Halacha. That the Rabban Shalom gave us 2,000 years that we should develop concepts in Halacha. Once all the concepts were developed, so today we just keep on applying these concepts. But if we'll have a Bez Nagodol in Yerushalayim today, and they'll want to be Mechadish, a new Yisayit, and based on a new Drosha, and a new Pasuk, come up with a new idea, so the Chazanish thinks that you can't do that. The Dinim had to be Nikva during those 2,000 years. So whatever was Nikva then, That's the halacha. It doesn't mean the halacha is frozen. The halacha keeps on developing from generation to generation. Many dinim were developed in the days of the Amoraim, in the days of the Rishonim, in the days of the Achronim, but everything was a development of what was before, as opposed to the 2,000 years of Torah, where Tanoim had the right, where the Chacham had the right, had the ability to darshim sukkim, to come up with mam, is something new, a new concept. There's even a machlokes in Achronim. The Chidor, in his comment, the Chidor wrote that 80 svarim or something that were printed. 80 svarim that were printed. Maybe he wrote more. So on one of his, he has a sefer on Megillas Ruth that's called Simchas HaRegel. So he discusses Amoini v'loy Amoinis, Mayavi v'loy Mayavia. The Ruth of Mayavia was permitted to marry Boaz because they darshan Amoini v'loy Amoinis, Mayavi v'loy Mayavia. So there is a debate in Rishonim regarding this drasha of Amoini v'loy Amoinis. Was this a drasha's chachamim that they were macharish? Or was this an ancient halacha l'moshe nisina? It's added tradition that that's the din. And the drasha Amoini v'loy Amoinis only an asmacht. So those who hold this halacha l'moshe nisina, so it's all the way back from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not, they weren't mechadishes. But according to the other Rishonim, we think that it's not halacha l'moshe nisina. The Gemara never says it's halacha l'moshe nisina. Some Rishonim write like that. According to the simple reading of the Gemara, it sounds like the Chachamim and the later generations darshan this halacha. They darshan based on the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash, then they figured out why it should be Amoini v'loy Amoinis. So the Chidor has a machlokes achronim regarding this. If one should assume that it's a drashas chachamim, that there are machadish in that generation, maybe the din deraisa only applies mikana lahavah. Maybe it's not chalam afreya. Let's say this makes a takana de rabbanon. They ask a gvina zakum or something like that. They ask a rabishalakum. So the gzera de rabbanon only applies mikana lahavah. You can't say, oh, the pots that the goy cooked in this morning, the goy cooked breakfast this morning, and it was bishalakum, but the bezin only made it there. Bishalakum at 11 o'clock. So you're going to say the pots are trait, you have to kasha them? No. How can you say the pots are trait? This morning there was no isra bishalakum. The isra is only chal mikana labo, it's not chal amafre. So that's an exer, that's an adin de rabbanon. Dinim de rabbanon are chal mikana labo. What about dinim de raisa? Dinim de raisa from matan Torah. But what if there's a din de raisa? It wasn't given at the time of Matan Torah. A bezin in a later generation darshaned it from a pasuk. So do you say that din deraisa only begins to be observed mikana lahabor? Or should you assume no? That once the bezin in the later generation darshans is din, it's now igloy in milsalem afreya, that's what the din should have always been from the very beginning, from the day of Matan Torah. So the Chidor in his commentary on Megillas Rus quotes this machlokes achronim. The Chazon Ish is quoted as having said the surprising way, that he thought that it's only mikana lahabor. Because they asked the Chazon Ish regarding the Medrash, the Rashi quotes on Kohelet, "Ein kochodesh tachas Hashemesh, nothing new under the sun." That's how people usually translate. There's nothing new under the sun. Everything is the same as it was in the days of Adam Rishon. All the same vices and the same virtues. The people, sadan the archadu. Everything always, the whole world is always the same as it always was. We shouldn't be surprised that there's a, how can a person do such a thing, such a crook, such an avera? He robbed a bank. They were always bank robbers. They were always prostitutes. They were always bali avera. They were always tzaddikim. They were always rishoyim. That's the way it always was. So that's how we usually assume in kochodesh tachas Hashem. So Rashi quotes in a different interpretation of the Medrash, that the Shemesh means the sun because it gives illumination. The Shemesh means the Torah because it illuminates everything in the world, that it's a very dark world. Gemara comments in the end of Bava Metzi, Atoshes Choshech Dihi Loila, Zeho El Mazeh Shedayim Elo Loila. It's very dark over here in this world. We don't know what's right and what's wrong. And the Rebbeinu Shalom gives an illumination. He gives us the Torah, and the Torah illuminates everything. We know what's right and we know what's wrong. So the Shemesh is a mashal for the Torah. So the pasuk says, Ein kochodesh tachas Hashemesh. There's no chidushim outside of the area of learning. In learning, there's such a thing as chidushin Torah. But outside of learning, outside of the Torah, there's no chidushin. So they asked the Chazon Ish, what do you mean there's no chidushin? I mean there were always airplanes and fax machines and Xerox machines and everything. These things were invented in our lifetime. The airplanes were not invented in my lifetime, but the fax machines, I think, were invented in my lifetime. What do you mean? They didn't have these things years ago. The Torah is the same old Torah. We're learning the same suvas with the same cases, with the same shittim ukubetzes as our grandparents learned, as our great-grandparents. For the last 2,000 years, the same maseches suvas, with the same everything, the same. what do you mean that there's only chidushim in Torah, there's no chidushim in science? Adarabba, there are only chidushim in science. In Torah, you're just applying the same old thing. So the Chazon Ish explained, that all the new inventions and all the new discoveries, everything that they have, these are all from Sheishis Mei Breishis. Of course there was no airplane at the time of Bria Soil, but we're just using the principles of physics that we both implanted within the world. And the Sheishis Mei Breishis, we're discovering more principles of physics, chemistry, medicine, mathematics, biology, astronomy, and so on. And based on all of our discoveries, we're making inventions where we were applying. We're simply applying all of these old rules, and everything was there from Sheishis Mei Breishis, as opposed to Torah. There's an ongoing koyach hachidush that the chachamim and all the generations have the ability to come up with a new chidush that never was before. And that chidush tak is only mikar alabo. That chidush din is only mikar alabo. So then the Chazon Ish suggested that in the Kuntres Amunah Bitochen, I think he writes like that, that he thinks that maybe that's the pshat in this gemara, not like the Marsha, that Shnei Alofim Mimos HaMashiach continues to be also part of Torah. It's not Shnei Alofim Torah only, and after the year 240 the Torah ends. No, the Torah doesn't end, the Torah continues on. Everybody's still learning Torah, but the Shnei Alofim Torah means during that period of 2,000 years, that's when you can be Kaveya Halachas. And after the year 240, after the 2,000 years of Torah is up, you can't be Kaveya New Din. You can't come up with any New Din. Within the course of those 2,000 years, you could be Mechadish a New Din that would only be Noi, Mikan Alaba. And after that, we just apply all the old dinim, like in chemistry and physics and biology and so on. We're still learning Torah. We mechadish a little bit, but the chiddush just is a new insight and a new understanding of the ancient rules. We're not mechadish something new yesh meyan. The Rekeach writes in his commentary on Chumash, he thinks that maybe in the opening pasuk of Bereishis, there were six aleves. So perhaps the six aleves is what led the Tanoim to believe, or perhaps it's a remiss to the idea of those Tanoim who claim that the world is only going to last for 6,000 years. Eleph. Aleph is a thousand. So he thinks that maybe the fact that the opening Pasuk has, Bereishis Bara Elokim, has six Alephs, is indicative of the fact that this world that was created, Bereishis Bara Elokim, has Hashemayim v'Haaretz, is going to last for the 6,000 years. Anyway, this is our... With the 6,000 years, that was a debate among the Tanaim, whether that is accurate or not. But this everybody agrees to, that the Ribbono Shel Olam does have a plan in the history of the world, and he guides along all of history, and he guides especially the history of the Jewish people and the history of the development of the Halacha, the development of the Torah also, to the extent that the Gemara says that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Rav Nosson, Sofa Mishnah, Rabbi Ravashi, Sofa Roh, these are all relevant for the development of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Ramban HaChumash has an interesting comment. He claims that when it says Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim Ves HaOretz, it doesn't mean that God created the sky and the ground. Like it says later, Vayikra Elokim L'Raki HaShamayim, the Ribbono Shel Olam called the sky Shamayim. So that's what it means, Bereishis Bara Elokim, he created the sky and the ground and the earth. So he says he doesn't think that that's the pshat. The word Shamayim in Pasuk Aleph, and the word Shamayim in Pasuk Ches, Vayikra Elokim L'Raki HaShamayim, he thinks that it's a different usage of the word. We sometimes call the sky Shamayim, but that's not the Shamayim that's referred to in Pasuk Aleph. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Olos Olamos Ha'Elyonim of Ruchnius, that's referred to as Shamayim, and everything in this world, including the sky, is called Oretz. This is all the Olam HaGashmi. And everything, and that's all. It says, Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim, the Ribbono Shel Olam created Ruchnius, the worlds. And that's not picked up on anymore. That's Sisri Torah. That's not picked up on. And everything that's going to continue in the description of the Bria Shamayim Oretz in the Chumash, that's only Bria Oretz. That's not Bria HaShamayim. There is such a pasuk in Tehillim, HaShamayim Shamayim LaShem B'Haaretz Nasan B'Vnei Adam. So the Gemara in the first parak in Sukkah seems to take that pasuk literally. The Gemara says that Moshe Olal Amoram, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai. So the Gemara understands that he Not that he was standing, his feet were on top of Har Sinai. The Gemara says, no, all Olam Aram. He went up above Har Sinai. His feet were not on top of Har Sinai. So the Gemara says, but how can it be? It says, Hashamayim, Shamayim, Lashem, Behoritz, Nosim of Neodom. He's supposed to be on the Oritz. So the Gemara says, you're right. His feet were suspended above the top of Har Sinai, but they were Lamata Me'asara Tvachim. They were Toch Asara Tvachim to the top of Har Sinai. Then the Gemara quotes Psukim that the Shechina came down from heaven. There was his galus Ashchina on the occasion of Mamre HaSinai, that the Shechina came down. So the Gemara says, how can it be? But it says, Hashamayim, Shamayim, Lashem. How can it be the Shechina came down? Or it's not some of Neyadim. So the Gemara says, the Shechina came down, but it was Lamayla Me'asara Tov. Moshe Rabbeinu went up, but it was Lamata Me'asara Tov. That the first, the gist of the whole Sugi is, the first Mishnah says that the Tfanis of the Sukkah have to be 10 Tvachim tall. And mechitzas for Rishu Sayochit for Shabbos purposes have to be 10 Tvachim tall. So the Gemara says, how do you know that that's so? So the Gemara says, because in order to be considered a mechitzah, it has to be makif the makom. And the makom means latitude and longitude on the globe. And the first 10 Tvachim above the surface of the earth are mitztaref to the ground below. The Moshe Ledin is that Ave Rishu Sarabim is Rishu Sarabim only up until the first 10 Tvachim. Abba Carmel is only the first 10 Tvachim. Above the Maila Me'asar Tvachim, above the floor of a Rishu Serabim, or above the floor of a Carmelist, has the status of a Makom Ptur. Only the first 10 Tvachim are mitztaref to the ground below. Abba Rishu Sayochid, the Gemara says, Zer Lad L'Rakia, that's a different reason why. Why is it Rishu Sayochid Ola L'Rakia? Because the Mechitzas are Ola L'Rakia. Because we have a din of good Asik Mechitza. Good means we stretch out. Good Ayobit. Good means Meshoch. We visualize as if you have walls around fences, around the parking lot, the fences don't go up all the way to the sky. We visualize it as if we stretch up the fences as if the mechitzas are roi la l'rakia. So if the mechitzas are roi la l'rakia, so the whole makam is mukaf. So that's why the din is that Rishu Sayochid is roi la l'rakia. If you can imagine a Rishu Sayochid where the mechitzas are not roi la ad l'rakia, then Ataka will not be taifis l'mayla me'asara t'roch. According to the Ramban, Sam Rishonim hold, there is such a case. You don't always say good asik mechitzah sheni kores, then you don't say good asik, there won't be oil al l'rakia. But in principle, the Gemara says that only the first 10 tefachim above the ground level are mitztaref to the ground. And then, so in discussing this, the Gemara says, "I Moshe olal amorim." So the Gemara says, "No, his feet were suspended above Har Sinai, suspended in the air in Morom, but the bottom of his shoes were toich asar tefachim to the ground." And the Shechina Yorda Lamata, yeah, Lamata, not all the way up there somewhere, but it was Lamai Lamei Asar Tvachim. That's how the Gemara says. So the Gemara seems to take this passage in the sense, HaShamayim, 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 Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Shamayim means the sky, and Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, means the earth. And Oritz includes the surface of the earth and the first 10 Tvachim. But above the first 10 Tvachim, it cannot be. That's why when they first sent the first man to the moon, so many people were very shaken up because they remembered this Gemara and they said, how is it possible? They denied that when they saw it on the television, they saw the man walking on the moon. They said, how is that possible? It's against the Pasuk, against the Gemara. So I remember at that time, one of the Rabbanim from the Eidah Haredis in Yerushalayim was visiting Rav Soloveitchik. He told him that he's very shaken up about this. So he said he doesn't see what to get so excited about. He didn't explain the Gemara in Sukkah. He just said, just like the Ramban says over here, that Bereshis Baruch Kima Asa Shamayim Asa Oretz doesn't mean the sky and the earth. Shamayim means the Olam Aruchni, and Oretz means the Olam Agashmi, and Oretz includes the sky. Everything that's described, the Ramban says, everything that continues to be described in Parashas Bereshis is all a description of Oretz. None of it a description of Shamayim. In the Sifri Kabbalah, they talk about the what's Shamayim, but in the Chumash it doesn't talk. So he thought that the same as the Pashup Shad and the other Pasuk, HaShamayim, Shamayim, LaShem, Horetz, HaSan, Lepin, Yadam, doesn't mean the skies are reserved for the Rabbanu Shel Olam. It means it's impossible for a human being to go to the sky. It is possible. The airplanes, they should have asked the Kasha, the airplanes were also Lamayla Me'asar Tvach. Once they asked the Kasha, then what, they have to wait till a man was walking on the moon? The Kasha was there a long time ago. It doesn't bother him. The whole kasha doesn't bother him. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik thought that man's desire to conquer the world, as he published in several essays, and to travel to the moon, that this is all part of the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't think that it's against the Ratzon of Hashem. when the Baruch Shalom created Adam Arishon, Vayivarach Oysam Alekim, Vayim Alehem Pruvu Milos Oretz V'chiv Shuho, Redu B'tgas Hayom V'b'yof HaShamayim. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to give man shilton over the whole world, shlita, over the whole world, v'chiv Shuho, Redu B'tgas Hayom V'b'yof HaShamayim. He wanted man to conquer all of the sicknesses and to figure out the secrets of chemistry and physics and biology and everything, and to travel to outer space and so on, and to go airplanes and fast airplanes to be in Europe, and then 2 hours later to be in America with the quick jets and so on. He thought that all of this was part of the Ratzon of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam just wants, he wanted this. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave Adam Arishon and all of human beings this desire, b'chiv Shuah, to conquer all of the world and to control everything, but with a restriction, with a little bit of a limit. He wants them to go within the mitzvah Satorah. If it's Jewish people, within all the Tariq mitzvah Satorah. If it's Nochem, within the Sheva mitzvahs B'ninoyah. The Pasuk says at the end of the Sedra, Hanafilim, are you bored by Yom Mahaim? And they did, how does the Pasuk say, they did whatever they don't please. They did whatever they wanted. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, Tovus is spelled without a vav. Without two vavs, missing both vavs. So it's a remez, kitat. The Gemara says in the beginning of Ksubis, Kol psula hanisis kibwel hegmon tchilo. So Rashi says from the Medrash, Rashi quotes in the Medrash, that that's what started to happen already in the days of the Chumash. That's what this kat, kitovos heino, Amar Rav Yudin, Tavas ksiv shoy metiven oisem b'kushetes l'konis l'chupo ha'gadol nichnus ha'boyal ha'tchila. The boyal ha'gmatchila is the pasuk in Bereishis. That a girl would be all dressed up, all fancy to get married, and someone else would say, but I want to have control over the whole world. So he would grab the other guy's girl. The girl's ready to marry someone else. That's not fair. That's not decent. She wasn't yet an Eish HaSish. The halacha says, in the days of the Tanaim, she was an Eish HaSish, because we're talking about Jewish people, so Kesef is kind of, there's Kiddushin, there's Erisin and there's Nisun, so the girl was there now, Arusa, for a whole year already. Sulam Nisus Liyom Ravi, that's Ayoran HaMitzvah Shpeta, that's a year and a Wednesday later, after they already had the Kiddushin, so the girl was an Eish HaSish. But over here, we're talking about Bnei Noach, there were no Bnei Yisrael yet. So by Bnei Noach, Rashi quotes the halacha that only Bulos Baal Yesh Lahem Nichnu Subuchu Pavalei Nivala Elahem, they don't have any concept of Kiddusha Kesav and Kiddusha Shtar. They only have Ishu Saideh Bilo. That's what the Pasuk says later. Ashe Beisa Shoish Kinovi. How does it say? Hincha Meis Ali Shazos Hashel Otach Tebihi Bulos Baal. So the Gemara comments on that Pasuk when Sora was taken. The Gemara comments on the Pasuk, only Bulos Baal Yesh Lahem. They don't have any other form of Kiddusha. So in this case, that they grabbed the girl who was just about to get married to someone else, but you're B'nei Halim is Menosim Kitoy V'Seinim. They would chapois the kala who would just be about to marry someone else. That was scandalous. It wasn't a violation of Eish HaSish, but it was scandalous. The girl wasn't interested in marrying him. She was going out with the other guy. She wanted to marry the other one. And then the pasuk says, V'yiklam Nashim Mikoy L'Asher B'chori. The Rashi quotes in the marriage, they would take a bulas bal also. They were violating Eish HaSish. And they would take Mishkav Zachar, Mishkav Behemah, Mikol Asher Bechor, Av Ulas Baal, Av Zachar, Av Behemah. He violated everything. Yeah, so the Chumash describes that Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to give Adam Arishon and all of mankind shilton, shlita, over the whole world, v'chiv Shuah, Rudu B'tgasayim, yeah, within restriction, within limits. Not to take Av Ulas Baal, and not to take Mishkav Behemah, not to take Mishkav Zachar, not to grab someone else's girlfriend. If the girl is holding by getting married to someone else, and she's not interested in marrying you, you're not allowed to grab that girl. That's Kitaris Haina. That's the problem, that people feel they have, the Ribbono Shel Olam created us with Bechira Chavshis, and we have a desire to accomplish, we have a desire to have Shlita. That's a normal desire, that's a healthy desire, Rechiv Shua. Everybody has a desire, a normal person has a desire to be successful in life. A person who's learning Torah should have a desire to succeed, and to master the Kol HaTorah Kula. A person who's in biology should have a desire to cure cancer and to cure all the diseases and to become and to make a contribution in music, whatever art, whatever field a person is in, he should have a desire. That's b'chiv Shuah, to excel in that field. But this desire shouldn't cause us to get carried away with ourselves and think that therefore we have the right to do whatever we want, and there's no limitation. No. That's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, that Hakina b'hatai b'vakovet matzim es ha'adam min ha'olam, that people have a desire to master everything. So then they're jealous of the other person. How come the other person has better furniture than I do? His wife is better looking than I have. He has more covet, and he has a better parnasa, and so on. His home is more pretty than mine, and more expensive, and so on. So Hakina causes people to sin. And taiva, Hakina b'hatai. A person has a desire to try shrimp, and he has a desire to eat macholos asuras and to take an ashes ish, and covet. People feel I deserve more covet. This is all because people feel restricted. They feel, how can I be restricted? The Rabbanu Shalom gave me the desire to be kovish the whole world, the desire to succeed in life. So he oversteps his bounds, and he goes past what the Rabbanu Shalom gave him the right to do. So we have to, everything, the chivshua should be within limits. The pasuk describes the chet of the Eitz Hadas, that the Nochash convinced Chavra that this is the Eitz Hadas Toiv Ra Im Shalit. In other words, by eating from the Eitz Hadas, you get seichel. Before you eat from the Eitz Hadas, they're stupid. And after eating from the Eitz Hadas, then you develop seichel, then you'll be a genius. And if you eat from the Eitz Hadas, v'yisin kelohim, yodei Toiv Ra, you will become like God. That's how the Medrash interprets. The Medrash says that the Nochash convinced Chava that the Rabbanu Shalom made from the Eitz Hadas, and that's how he became a god. And he's all people in any given field are jealous of the competition. So God doesn't want to have any other competition. He wants to be the only god. Just like a dentist, he doesn't want another dentist to open up another practice right next to him. He doesn't want competition. Go open up in a different city or an automobile shop. He doesn't want someone else to sell automobiles in the same block. Nobody wants any competition. He wants to get all the customers himself. So the Rabbanu Shalom also ate from the Eitz Hadas, and that's how he became God. And if you eat from the Eitz Hadas, v'yisin kelohim yodei Toiv Ra, you too will become like God, and you will be competition to God. And she fell for it. Chava fell for that story. She's going to eat from the Eitz Hadas, a fruit from the Eitz Hadas, and she'll become like God. So the pasuk is describing the chet of the Eitz Hadas, that's really the root of all of chet. That's how the Baal HaTanya quotes from the Sifrei Kabbalah. The pasuk describes that the root of all of chet really is gaiva, arrogance, that man feels that he has the right to do more. We all have the ability to do more. We should all, we are all half asleep. Sometimes if you're among the students in the same year, you'll always see one student who's always getting 100. So sometimes he's a much bigger genius than you are. I'm not such a big genius. He just applies himself. He doesn't waste his time on television. He doesn't waste his time on other things that are irrelevant. He leads a normal life. He eats normal meals and he sleeps normal hours. And he just applies himself better. And he does better than everybody else. So we should really learn from that. We should all learn from that to be more successful in life. So sometimes people feel, in order to be more successful, they have such illusions of grandeur. Oh, I'll eat from the Eitz Hadas, I'll become God. I'll be able to eat Macholos Asur. I can do whatever I want. I can be Machal Shabbos. I can do. So we have to realize that our this concept of Shlita, that the Rabbanu Shalom wanted to give a Shlita on the world, has restrictions. If we're from the Bnei Noach, it has less restrictions. If we are from the Bnei Yisrael, we have a couple of more restrictions. Has to be within reason. This attitude of gaiva is always the source of all of sin. Hakina b'hatai b'vakovet are assumed to be three forms of this feeling of gaiva, this exaggeration of the sense of shlita sa'adam on the whole world. What does it mean in the Chumash? That it's the Eitz Hadas Toiv Ra, that's what the Rambam asks on the first page in the Mor in the Buchan. The pasuk is to be taken literally, that before the eight from the Eitz Hadas, they were la b'nei das, they had no seichel. And only after eating from the Eitz Hadas, then it was the Eitz Hadas Toiv Ra. Now they have das Toiv Ra, before not. So the Rambam says, how can it be? So they were la bar das before. So la bar das is a la bar chiyuva. Cherishot v'katan is a la bar das, la bar chiyuva. So why are they punished? Because they ate from the Eitz Hadas. How can you give a tzivut to a person as a la bar das? So the Rambam explains that it doesn't mean that. The Rambam has this famous explanation in the Mor in the Buchim. He says that before they ate from the Eitz Hadas, They didn't have a concept of Tova Ra. They had a concept of Emes and Sheker. They knew the, what was right and they knew what was wrong. And after eating from the Eitz Hadas, they weren't so interested in doing what's right and avoiding what, doing what's wrong. They were interested in doing what's pleasant and avoiding doing what's unpleasant. Sometimes the things that are pleasant are wrong. The Yeshus Ish is a very good looking woman. Sometimes she's very, very appealing. But that's the wrong thing, even though it's very pleasant, it's the wrong thing. And the Chazer, the Macholas Asuras, is very tasty. The Torah doesn't prohibit Macholas Asuras because it doesn't taste good. And if a guy gets a job to be Mechal Shabbos, he'll make more money. Sometimes he'll make much more money. But the Torah says you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. Not because it's unpleasant. It is very pleasant to be Mechal Shabbos, but it's prohibited. So before the Eighth and the Eighth Adas, their orientation was to think in terms of what's right and what's wrong. And after eating from the Eitz Hadas means after sinning, the Gemara says, Kiva Sha'ava Radam Aver Vishanabo Nasus Lokehete. Once a person sins and he gets into the routine of sinning, he rationalizes, he says, look, it's not so bad. It can't be that it's so bad, the world didn't come to an end, and he'll justify everything and I'll find the terrors for everything. The Psukim and Mishle describe the prostitute as defending her profession. She doesn't force anybody into using her services. She doesn't overcharge. She gives people a good time. She's very nice about it. And the Pesukim say everybody rationalizes. Everybody justifies what they do. So that's what the Chazal understood over here by eating from the Eitz Hadas. After they ate from the Eitz Hadas, then everything was understood. All of life was looked at in terms of Tov V'Ra. What is pleasant and what's unpleasant. Whatever is pleasant, they'll already give they'll write a tshuva and explain why it's mutar. And whatever is unpleasant, they'll be able to understand why it's why that's not the route to go. Instead of judging what's right and what's wrong, they determine based on what's pleasant and what's unpleasant. In Yiddish, they say a melitza like that. The Gemara says a melitza tamachacham shavar aver balaylo. The Gemara says if you saw tamachacham did an aver at night, al tahar achar bayom. You shouldn't think in the daytime that that he did something wrong last night. The Gemara says, Shem also tshuva. Maybe he did tshuva, so you shouldn't be choshev b'kshem. The Gemara says, Shem also tshuva. No, it must be more than that. Vaday also tshuva. We should assume he was a Talmid Chacham. You should assume that he certainly did tshuva. So in Yiddish they have an expression, Vaday also tshuva. He certainly wrote a tshuva and he explained why it's permissible. Yeah, people can always justify. Whatever position they take, they'll always justify. That's what the Beis HaLevi quotes that section from Mishle, that the prostitute justifies her profession. She said she didn't do anything wrong. No complaint. You shouldn't complain to her. That's how the Rambam interprets, that before eating from the Eitz Hadas, they were B'nai Das. If they weren't B'nai Das, they were La B'nai Chiyuvi. You couldn't give them a tzivut. They wouldn't deserve any punishment. La B'nai Onshin. Now, before they ate, they had Das, Avada, but the Das was Emes and Sheker to distinguish between right and wrong. And after eating from the Eitz Hadas, then it was pleasant and unpleasant. Then they were looking for different things in life. In Chassidish Svarim, they say the same thing, but slightly different usage of the term. They say along the lines of the Ramban Achumish. Ramban says basically the same thing, I think, but slightly different language. He says the Eitz Hadas was Eitz Hadas Tovara Miurovim Zebozeh. Before they ate from the Eitz Hadas, they knew what was Tov and they knew what was Ra. And after eating from the Eitz Hadas, then it becomes Tov Ra Mirovim Zebizeh, they blended in and people rationalize and they'll justify. In fact, the Medrash says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu confronted Adam Arish and he asks him, Aminu Eitz HaShet Tzivisich Levil Teochol Memenu Acholta, so he says, yes, Arish and Shnatin, he nasten liba oichal. So the Medrash says, what is that form of grammar mean ba oichal? So he didn't say achalti. He nasna livi achalti. Achal means achalti v'achalot. I ate from the Eitz Hadas and I will continue. Tells the Rabbanu Shalom. Rabbanu Shalom says, did you eat from the Eitz Hadas? I said, yeah, it's good stuff. I'm going to eat some more. He tells the Rabbanu Shalom, yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm going to eat some more. So he has the chutzpah to tell. The answer is, after sinning, so everything is nasa sula keheta. So that's how the Ramban says that tovara means tovara miurovim zebazeh. All of us are like that. After you get used to doing the wrong thing in life, say justify and say it's not so bad. And not everybody holds like that. And there are other shittas. Of course there are other shittas. The wrong shittas. The right sheet and the wrong sheet. The Rambam, see, we believe, one of the principles that we believe in is that the Bria was Yesh Mayayin, that there was nothing in the world, only the Ribbono Shel Olam, there wasn't even time and space. The Ribbono Shel Olam had to create time, space, and matter. Everything was created Yesh Mayayin. Those who don't believe in God have to say that everything happened by itself. Everything existed by itself. I don't even know what that means. Everything exists by itself. We believe in Ikar and Emunah that the only thing that existed was the Ribbono Shel Olam. There wasn't even time, space, there was no matter, there was nothing. And then Ribbono Shel Olam created everything, Yesh Mayayin, literally Yesh Mayayin. And then once he created, says, so now we have Yesh Mayayin. Now babies are born, Yesh Mayayin. It's not Yesh Mayayin. Okay. And fruits grow on the trees and vegetables grow. Everything now is Yesh Mayayin. But the original Bria was Yesh Mayayin. Rambam interprets in the Gemara in Psachim, in Makis, the Gemara talks about eating certain non-kosher fish that you can sometimes get more than once malchus. Ochel putisa loika arba, nemola loika chomesh, tzira loika shesh. The Gemara says sometimes you get four times malchus, five times malchus, and six times malchus. So there's a big machlokes harishonim v'hagoyim over there, how to read the Gemara. And the Rambam really stands alone. The Rambam has a totally different interpretation from all of the goyim and all of the rishonim. The Rambam claims, he has his chiddush, that if you have a kefil halab, the chumash repeats the same lab many times. Chelev, dam is repeated, nevela is repeated quite a few times in the chumash, so you only get once malchus. You don't get malchus in accordance to how many times the pasuk appears. Why is it repeated? For emphasis, the mechazik dinim. So according to the Rambam's position, that's how he has in Shoresh Tes, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and he has in the Yad HaChazok, and the Mishnah Torah has like that. When you have a kefil halav, so you only count it as one mitzvah. So how do you make a cheshbon that you get four times malchus for eating the trace of fish, five times malchus, six times malchus, say Rashi, and Taisus, and the Ramban, and the Goinim, all Olam Shat, and Raivit. The Olam, because the Pasuk says many times not to eat the Sheretz HaMayim. And the Rambam says no, that there's a lav, you're not allowed to eat the Sheretz HaMayim. A non-kosher fish. There's a lav you're not allowed to eat a non-kosher bird. There's a lav you're not allowed to eat a non-kosher animal that walks on the ground. What if you have an animal that flies and it crawls on the ground and it swims? So it's a bird and it's a plane and it's Superman and it's everything all together. And it dances and it plays the guitar and it knows how to work on the computer. So the Rambam said there's a lav if it's this, there's a lav if it's that. And if it has all six together, it dances and it sings and it's a pilot that knows how to drive an airplane. So then he said, you get six times malchus. So the Ravid says, the Ravid is making fun of the Rambam in Hilchos Macholos Asuris. He calls him Hama'asef Hazeh. He calls the Rambam a collector because he collected all halachos. Hama'asef Hazeh, Asaf Dvarim She'enam. He gathered together things that don't exist. He says, there is no such, that's what he sounds like saying. He says, there is no such animal that it flies and it swims and it dances and it crawls on the ground. So that's the question, what the Rambam holds, that there is such an animal, the Ravid holds that there isn't such an animal. What are they fighting now? So the Rambam writes there, part of his interpretation of the halacha is that there's a separate law for a non-kosher animal that was spontaneously generated. Sure. He quotes it from a Sifro. We don't have it in the Gemara. He quotes it from the Sifro. One of the six malchus that you get is, if you have a sheret, a non-kosher animal that was spontaneously generated, then you get malchus for that. So if it swims and it crawls on the ground and it flies and it's spontaneously generated, so then you get another malchus for that. So Louis Pasteur is known for having proven that there's no such thing as spontaneous generation. That life has to come from life. So we no longer accept this Rambam. After the age of Louis Pasteur, we no longer accept the Rambam. What do we do? The Gemara has it in. The Gemara has in the Masechah Shabbos. The Gemara says, Ahori Kina B'Shabbos is Potter. If you kill a certain lice on Shabbos, you're not Chai B'Shem Tilis Neshama. So the Gemara sounds like it says that it's spontaneously generated. So that chiyus doesn't count. So this is a big question. If the Pasteur came up with his chiddush that there's no such thing as spontaneous generation, what do you do with the din in the Gemara? So on the Sefer Pachad Yitzchok, the encyclopedia Pachad Yitzchok by Rabbi Yitzchok Lamprenti from Italy from a few centuries ago, he quotes that there was a machlokes of the Rabbanim in Italy. After Pasteur came up with his chiddush, how are you going to deal with the Gemara? Okay. So that's the question. So in more recent years, in the 1900s, the communists officially didn't believe in God. So if you don't believe in God, you have to believe in spontaneous generation.
I
Where did life? Everything is yesh. Everything happened by itself. Life came from nothing. Life came from nothing. No. You have to believe in spontaneous generation. So the communists, historically, the communists commissioned their scientists to disprove Louis Pasteur's theory. So for money, you can do anything. So they paid them a lot of money. So they disproved it. They proved that there is such a thing as spontaneous generation. So some of the Rabbonim were dancing from joy. Ah, we finally saved the Shverer Rambam. The Rambam was so difficult for a few centuries because Pasteur had proven no such thing as spontaneous generation, and now they disprove. So other Rabbonim are not so happy to rely on the communist scientists who were commissioned by the communist government. Their kavana was l'shem avodah zarah. They wanted to prove that it is possible to have everything happen by itself. You don't have to have any God in the world. But we assume that God created the world, yesh meyayin, and he created life, yesh meyayin. And we are free to follow Louis Pasteur. Maybe we will disprove Louis Pasteur. But so far we still drink pasteurized milk. And we still hold from this theory. We assume that there is no thing as spontaneous generation. And the Rambam is a Shverer Rambam. We believe that the Bria was Yesh Meyayin. The Bria of life was Yesh Meyayin. The Pasuk describes the uniqueness of Adam Harishon, that he just created the Tzelem Elokim. What does that mean? That the Ribbono Shel Olam also has two eyes and a nose and two ears. He looks like us. Hard to believe. We assume that God doesn't have any body. This was in the days of the Rambam. This is one of the reasons why they burnt the Sifri HaRambam. The Rambam assumed that God doesn't have any body. And there were many tzaddikim in other countries who believed in a simple literal translation of the Tanakh. That God, Yicharaf Hashem, God knows God had. And Eini Hashem, God has at least two eyes. God has a mouth and he speaks. God has legs. God has at least two legs. And so there were others who held the Rambam as an apikoros because of the fact that he establishes a principle that God doesn't have a body. But over the years, the Rambam's opinion has prevailed, and we assume that God does not have a body. So what does it mean that God created man with Tzelem Elokim? So we assume that Tzelem Elokim, the Meshech Chochma quotes from the Sefer Beis Elokim by the Mabit. Mabit was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef in Sfas in the 1500s. So the Meshech Chochma quotes from the Mabit that Tzelem Elokim means Bechira Chavshis. We believe in Bechira Chavshis. It's true that different people have different genes, and the different genes give them tendencies. There are some people who are more prone to drinking than others. There are some people who are more prone to running around with women than others. There are some people who are more prone to genevis. Some people more prone to become bank robbers. The Gemara at the end of Masechah Shabbos says, whoever was born on a Sunday will be a sheikhet dam, or something like that. Either he'll be a murderer, or he'll be a sheikhet, or he'll be a moyel, but he's going to have this tendency. So the Gemara does talk about tendency, and today we understand it's based on the genes and so on. Yeah, but a tendency doesn't mean that there's no bechira chavshis. Sometimes it means that it's more difficult. Sometimes it means that the challenge to control yourself, if a person doesn't have any, he doesn't enjoy drinking schnapps, he has no desire, has no cheshik at all. So it's easier for him to be sober than for the fellow who does have a desire, who does enjoy it. So the challenge is greater. This fellow will have a yetzer hara in a different area. The Ribbono Shel Olam created everybody with a yetzer hara. The pasuk says, always says Vayitza with one yud, Bayaram Rishon says Vayitza with two yuds. What's the relevance, what's the symbolism in the two yuds? So the two yuds represent the constant conflict that every human being has. Everybody has within him a Yetzer Tov with a Yetzer Hara. It's a double Yetzer and there's always a conflict. And the person, every normal person has the ability to control his desires and to follow Ratzon Hashem. Sometimes people don't have Bechira Chavshis, that's what we call a Sheita. A person who's crazy, who doesn't have clear conscience, that's called the Shaita. Let's say there are people after the Second World War who suffered so much, they didn't have any water to drink or something like that. So when they'll see a cup of water, there's plenty of water. You can drink all the water. They'll see a cup of water that used to be. Now they all, it's already 60 years later after the war. They'll run, they'll knock people over to drink the cup of water. What's the problem? The bottles of water are all over the place. No, they become so meshuggah, they have no clear conscience to act normally. So unfortunately, there are a lot of people in the world who are mamish mishigoy. Those are the crazy people who don't have bechira chavshis. But normally we assume that every person is a bardas, and it means that a person has the ability to control his tendencies and his desires, and whatever genes he has, just make an inclination within him. And he can do a shviras amidas. The person has the ability to control themselves and to observe the mitzvahs of Torah. So that's why we hold these people responsible. We hold normal people are held responsible for whatever they do, for averus that they do. We don't say that everybody is a lav bardas. Today in psychology, for many years already, they just don't believe in kiro cultures. I remember about a year and a half ago, there was some kind of an article in the New York Times Sunday magazine section about so the premise of the whole article was that there's no kiro cultures, and they had a couple of kashas. They had no way to forever. So I think 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, whenever it was, so people sent in letters to the editor in the magazine section. So they said, "Gula yesh loimar, maybe there is such a thing as kiro chashis." That never occurred to the guy who wrote the article. No, that's a muskel rishon, that's given. There's no such thing as kiro chashis. And he was bothered with a couple of kashas. How do you find out for this? How do you find out for this? The teretz is that we believe in tzelem elokim. Tzelem elokim means that just like there was nothing pressuring the Ribbono Shel Olam to create the world, he created the world out of his own free will. It's not that all God, by his very nature, is pressured into creating the world. God doesn't have any nature that pressures him into creating. Ribbono Shel Olam created the world out of his own free will. So too, God created man, b'tzelem elokim, that we have certain tendencies. Everybody has different genes, and everybody has not everybody was born on Sunday. 1/7 of the population born on Sunday, 1/7 of the population born on Monday. So all the different people have different tendencies, but we all have the ability to control all of these genes and all of these tendencies. That's an ikar in our belief, is the principle of Tzelem Elokim, the Hainu Bechira Chavshis. Bechira Chavshis, however, we assume is restricted, Alpi Pashtis. Do I have Bechira Chavshis to go shoot you? If you're not, you don't deserve to die now. So we... It's a question. So Rabbi Chana Wasserman has an essay about this topic. He assumes, I think that's the more traditional approach, he assumes that there's no such thing. I can't have the Bechira Chavshis to shoot a person who doesn't deserve to die. Everyone has a restricted, a limited Bechira Chavshis. The Ribbono Shel Olam wouldn't give me any shlita over someone who doesn't deserve to die. Sometimes the person deserves to die because of his chatoim. Sometimes he deserves to die because he was only brought into this world for a short period of time in order to accomplish something. Once, to go kill a guy. So why should I kill a guy? I have no interest in killing. But if someone is a murderer and he's an evil person, a Russian, he wants to kill, so then the Rabbanu Shalom will open up his ability. He'll give him a b'chira chafshus. He'll give him the ability to kill this person. But if it's not time for the person to die, so the Rabbanu Shalom, let's say, to rob a bank. The rob a bank, he mops at all of the people who have their money in the bank. So the Rabbanu Shalom gives everybody b'chira chafshus. Whoever wants can rob the bank and mops at everybody. So we usually assume that not. It must be that there's Eironim Nokef Etzboi Malamato Elim Kei Machrizin Olav Malamato. We usually assume that a person wouldn't suffer any hepsid mom and any hepsid aguf, anything at all. Not all assume like that. Orachaim HaKodesh in his commentary on Chumash later, quotes a Zohar, which seems to develop an opposing view. The Zohar has the comment on the Pasuk, when the brothers of Yosef wanted to kill Yosef. So then they said, how can we kill him? So they said, okay, we'll throw him into the bor. And then it says they threw him to the bor, but habore came bo mayim. So the Gemara comments on the Pasuk, came bo mayim, mayim ain't bo, avon nechosh makrabim yeshbo. So they threw him into the bor, knowing in advance that he's going to get killed by the scorpions. They're going to eat him up alive. So why they throw him into the bor? It's the same as killing him. So many interpret in the Gemara, no, the bor was a very deep bor. What the bor was only 9 foot deep. So he'll be able to walk out of the bor, he'll climb out. So the bor was very, very deep. It was 10 feet deep. So they didn't see the Chosh Makrad. And that's how the many Meforshim say Pshat in the Gemara. And Bameh Madlikin, the Gemara has this memory right next to the other memory, that if you put an Ner Chanukah, Lamala Meser Mamor, so there's lo shalta beyena, so you won't be able to see it, so you're not yotze. Because wrong yotze, I'd love this Ner Chanukah, if there's pursuing these, that people will see. So then the next memory, the Gemara quotes is this, Abore came on my member, Nechosh Makrad Niyeshbo. What does it mean to say that the bor was so deep, so that's why they didn't see the Nechosh Makrad. The Poshim Shah, they didn't know that they were Nechosh Makrad. But the Orachaim, in his commentary on Chumash, quotes a Zohar that apparently understood, no, they knew that they were Nechosh Makrad. So what did they... He said, let's not kill him, we'll throw him into the boy. Throw him into the boy, he's going to get killed again. So you're responsible for his death. So the Zohar has some kind of a comment that the human beings have the ability to kill an innocent person, even though he doesn't deserve to die. Because the Rebbeinu Shlom gave everybody the Chiruch Hafshis. So he gave us the ability to shoot innocent people and to rob a bank and to be mopsed people who don't deserve to lose that money. But the Choshim Akrabim don't have Chiruch Hafshis. Anything in the Bria other than a human being doesn't have this Tzelem Elokim, doesn't have Tzirach Hafshis. And the Chosh Makrabim will not kill Yosef unless he deserves to die. So they said, let's not kill him. We'll kill him. Maybe that won't indicate that he's guilty of anything. Maybe that'll be our Aveira that we want to kill him. Let's throw him into the bor. And Menashe Mayim will determine whether he deserves to die. And then he didn't die. But if they would have started up with him, they would have succeeded in killing him even if he would not have deserved to die. So that's a different approach. That's a different approach. That's the question. All of the people who were killed, all the people who were murdered by terrorists, by murderers, do we assume that there must have been a gzeirah min hashamayim that they should die? Well, no, not necessarily. People have a b'chira chafshis, so they have the ability to kill other people and to harm other people, even though they don't deserve to suffer. The Gemara says, Eironim Nokef Etzboi Malamato. The Gemara doesn't talk about someone else cutting off my finger. The Gemara talks about Nekev Hetzbot. I harm myself. Or the Pasuk says you should put a makev, Yasisa makev Gagecha. Why? Ki yipol hanoifo mimenu, lest someone will fall down and get killed. That's how the Gemara says in Bava Kamma. The mitzvah makev only applies if there's a hashash that someone's going to get killed. If there's a hashash someone's going to break his arm, then no. Only if the building, the gag, is 10 tfachim higher than the ground. And Asara tfachim, the Gemara says, can accomplish Misa. The Gemara says there's a Bor Tes and a Bor Yud. A Bor Tes cannot accomplish Misa. A Bor Yud can accomplish Misa. So in the Sugya Bor, with La Bava Kamma, the Gemara has this halacha, that the only time there's an obligation to put a makeh is when the roof is at least 10 tefachim above the ground below it, and someone may fall down and get killed. So the Yerushalmi comments on the phrase on the Pasuk, Ki Yipol HaNoifel Mimenu, lest someone will fall down and get killed. Why did we call him a Noifel? He didn't fall down yet. We should say, Ki Yipol Adam. So the Yishami says that the reason why it says Kipal HaNoifel means that there must have been a Gzeirah Min HaShamayim that he should fall down and get killed. If not for the fact that there was a Gzeirah, he wouldn't have fallen down and he wouldn't have gotten killed. So if there was a gzeir min hashamayim, so what's wrong? So what's wrong if I don't make a market? He's only going to fall down and get killed if he deserves it. The answer is yeah. Let someone else do the Ribbono Shalom's dirty work. Don't you be the one to do the shlichus of the Ribbono Shalom to cause this Pliny to die. Let someone else be responsible for his death. You should put up a market so this kilkul shouldn't occur al yodecha. So that Yerushalmi is also talking about. The guy's going to fall off of the roof on his own. And the Gemara Chulin, Eidam Nefer Fetzpoy Maramata, is also talking about what happens on its own. The Gemaras don't really speak explicitly about shooting someone. But that's what Rabbi Hanan Wasserman has a long arichas in his essays. He assumes that it applies to even a terrorist activity, even a murderer. He says, we assume that if anyone dies, it's not shaykh. If anyone murders someone else, it's not shaykh that he should die without a Ratzon Hashem. That's the Ralbag in his commentary on Mishlei writes like that. At the end of Mishlei, there's a pasuk that says, Pal Gemayim, Leib Melech Biyad Hashem, Kol Asher Yachpetz Yatenu. Pal Gemayim means like this. You have a big river, it's a very wide river, a few miles wide, and it goes with such force. It's not shaykh. It's very difficult to divert the river. You have to have a major, it'll be a major job to divert it. What if you just have a trickle of water, Pal Gemayim, a tiny trickle of water, so you just put your hand there, and you can divert the whole flow of the water. It's not so difficult. So the pasuk describes Leiv Melech, the Yad Hashem, the heart of the king, the world's rulers, are in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Pal Gemayim. It's like a trickle of water. Kol Asher Yachpetz Yatenu, the Baruch Hashem just puts in the heart of the king that he wants him to, Hitler was a ruler, the Baruch Hashem put in his heart that he should seek to it, that all these millions and millions of people should be killed. Stalin killed more people than Hitler. He put in his heart that he should kill all of these people. So the Ralbag, in his commentary, Ralbag Bichlal has very interesting comments on Tanakh, wherever he has what to say. So on that pasuk in Mishlei, he gives a whole long essay, a whole long arichas in the end of Mishlei. So he says it's inconceivable that a king should be able to make decisions whatever he wants, to just decide to go to war and to kill so many people. Unless there's a gzeir min hashamayim. It must be that the Ribbono Shalom completely controls the hearts of the kings, because every slight decision that the king makes affects so many other people, even what toothpaste he uses. Because they're going to advertise it in the newspaper. The king uses Colgate, or whatever he uses. Or whatever caterer he uses for his daughter's wedding. It's Nagir, that caterer is going to become a rich man. Everybody's going to use that caterer, or whatever. Every little slight little sneeze that the melech does affects so many different people in Parnassah and their chiyus and their lives and so on. So that's what the Ralbag says. Whenever anybody, it's not only the melech, every little activity that the king does affects everybody else. But other people also. Most of what we do all day affects ourselves. And once in a while, it affects other people. Whenever what we do affects someone else, so the Ribbono Shel Olam restricts our bechira chofshes and he controls it. And he says, we have no right to do something which will affect someone else negatively if the other guy doesn't deserve to suffer. So the Ralbag has this long arichas like Rabbi Hanan Wasserman. I think that was usually assumed to be the traditional opinion. But the Yorah Chaim presents an opposing view. Yeah, that's how we usually assume. We assume that Baruch Hashem created the world with a tachlis, and he's guiding everything in the world. So the question, does he guide everything 100%? Maybe a lot of things happen against his wishes. Maybe even a lot of things, there certainly are a lot of things happening against his wishes. People are doing avaris, they're destroying his world. But what about to cause others to suffer? That's also possible to happen. That's the question. That's the Shema. In the creation of Adam Arishon, the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Vayikach Ofer Min Adama, and he created Adam Arishon. So the Medrash comments on the pasuk Ofer Min Ho Adama. Min Ho Adama has the connotation of a Mizbach Adama Tasali. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu took from the location of the Makom HaMikdash offer from that Adama, and he created Adam Arishon what was that kavana halavai shetehelo kapar? The Mizbeach represents offering karbanas in order to attain kapara. So the Banu Shalom wanted to create Adam Rishon with the ability to do tshuva. That's what a human being is all about. A human being, it has b'chira chavshis. The whole koyach ha-tshuva is b'chira chavshis. That you have the ability to do good, you have the ability to do bad, and you have the ability to change your ways, even after already choosing one route and remaining on that route for 85 years, you can still choose to change. You can still choose to change. So that's the whole essence of the human being, is that we have b'chira chavshis, and we have the ability to do tshuva. The Rambam has, in Hilchas Tshuva, he speaks about the Klala B'chira Chavshis. He really could have written it up earlier in Hilchas Yisrei Atar, when he's listing off all the Ikari Hamuna. But he writes it in Hilchas Tshuva because it's more closely connected with Tshuva. People are not held responsible for anything they do if they wouldn't have B'chira Chavshis. But he says Tshuva is all based on this exaggerated idea of B'chira Chavshis. Not only do we have B'chira Chavshis to choose here and there, we have the ability to reverse everything, to undo everything that we did in the past, even though for so many years we were doing wrong, for so many years we were doing right, we can always change our mind and reverse everything. That's even an exaggerated extension of b'chira chavshis. Usually b'chira just means you're on your way, going along your way, and then you come to a fork in the road, so you go this way, then you have another fork in the road, you go that way, you go this way, you go that way. No, but you can even go backwards. That's an extension of the concept of b'chira chavshis. Not only every step of the way you can go, and once you're ready in California, so you're stuck in California, no, you can come back to New York in a second. You can do tshuva and come all the way back. So that's apparently what the Chazal, what the Midrashim understood by the concept of Ofer Minhu Adama, that this is considered intrinsic to the nature of Adam. That man has this exaggerated sense, ability of the b'chira chavshis. The Gemara in the Mishnah in Yuma says that during the period of the second Beis Hamikdash, the Aron was not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so there was a Nevesh Siyah that was protruding from the ground in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so the Kengadol would do the Hazorah Sadam in front of that Nevesh Siyah. What good is that? Are you supposed to do this Zrikah Sadam in front of the Ava Kaporis, Lefnei HaKaporis, Achas L'mayla V'sheva L'mato? So the quote from Rav Elbel Soloveitchik, that's based on the principle of Kitchel Osi Lover. That when Shlomo HaMelech put the Aron there, when he built the first Beis HaMikdash, put the Aron there, that Mokim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim was Niskadesh, that's the Mokim HaAron, and this is the Mokim of Lifnei HaAron. And the Rambam writes in Hilchas Beis HaPchira that regarding the Rambam's Chiddush like that, the writer doesn't agree, the Rambam writes a Chiddush that the Kedushas HaMikdash B'Paskin was Kitchel Asi Lover from day number one. From the time that Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, Shechina L'Zozim and Kodman, so that was Kitchel Asi Lover. That's what Rav Elbel Soloveitchik suggests, that maybe the ability of the Kengadol during the period of Vaisheni to continue to do the Zrikas Adam in front of the location where the Aron used to be is based on this principle of Kitchel Asi Lover. That's called the Mokum HaAron, and this is considered the Mokum Shelefnei HaAron. And we continue to observe the dinim as if the arm was still there. Just because the arm was removed, it doesn't affect any change. So why is that stone called the Evan Shisir? What is that all about? So the Gemara says there, one suggestion says there in the end of Yuma, middle of Yuma. Yeah, the Mem is in the middle of Yuma. So the Nuns, I think Nun Dalet or something. So the Gemara says that Shemisham Nishtas Kol HaOlam Kulot. When the Ribbono Shel Olam was creating the world, first he created the Mokam HaMikdash. First he made the seven Shisiyah. And then everything else developed Yesh Meyesh. That's how the Ramban has such a concept in his commentary on Bereishis. It's not that the Ribbono Shel Olam created everything Yesh Meyayin. He created Yesh Meyayin in certain material, and then he allowed that material to expand. And then he said, die. That's the name, Shin Dalidud, one of the names, one of the seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shiva Shem Shein Mechokim. So the connotation is, Shamalalamadai. The Rebbeinu Shalom made the material, and it was expanding and growing on its own. And then he said, that's it. He doesn't want it to expand anymore. So the original location that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created first, the first thing that he created was the Mokam HaMikdash. So that's why the halacha assumes that the Makom HaMikdash is the center of the world, since that was created first. Wait a minute, it's not the center of the earth, it's molten, is a burning hot metal or something, no. No, it means it's the world is a globe, the earth is a globe. It means that every globe has two hemispheres, and the Makom HaMikdash is the center of the upper hemisphere. So that's what the Baal HaMo'or in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Chof writes, that the Yerushalayim is referred to in Tanakh as Tabur HaOretz, the belly button of the earth, because that's the center of the upper hemisphere of the globe. Globe is a ball that has two hemispheres, that's the center of the upper hemisphere. And he says, what's the relevance, what's the significance? So he says, an afkemina for the international dateline. That he's a Balamor, and Chazon Ish writes that all of the seven Rishonim, we'll talk about the topic, all say the same thing, Anat Gemara and Rosh Hashanah Daf Chof on the base, that the international dateline cuts through Korea. Why does it cut through Korea? It has to be 6 hours to the east, 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim has to be, the Evan Shasiya has to be the center of the upper hemisphere. Just because we believe that the world was created, Bishvil Yisrael, the whole world, and all the stars and all the galaxies, everything was created, Bishvil Yisrael, Bishvil HaTorah, doesn't necessarily mean that the earth is the center of the world. The Gemara in the end of Pesachim quotes a dispute that the scholars had, whether the sun is the center of all of the planets or the earth is the center of everything. And then the Gemara says the Chachmei Yisrael thought they had a logical concept. They didn't have any evidence, they didn't have any proof, but logically they thought that since the whole purpose of the world was Bishvil Yisrael Bishvil HaTorah, we're on the earth, so it makes sense that the earth should be the center of everything and everything should revolve about the earth. The Chacham Yom HaSalem said no, that all the planets revolve about the sun. The sun, but they didn't have any Hashkafah, they thought the world is Stam Hefker. So they said scientifically everything revolves about the sun. So then the Gemara says, V'chazu Chacham Yisrael, V'hodu L'Chacham Yom HaSalem. The Gemara says that the Chacham Yisrael were convinced that the Chacham Yom HaSalem were right. Yes, that everything, the planets revolve about the sun. The planets revolve about the sun, but it shouldn't mislead us to believe that the Jewish people with the Torah is not the tachlis of the Bria. The tachlis of the whole Bria, of all the Shemayim Oretz, is Bereishis, the Shul Yisrael Shenikur Reishis, the Shvil HaTorah. Just because something is not in the dead center, doesn't, even though it's all the way on the side, doesn't necessarily mean that that's not what makes everything tick. Let's say if you look in an automobile, the engine is not in the middle, the engine's in the front. Well, a lot of times, the heart happens to be stuck in the middle of the body. But it doesn't have to be. You have other balachayim where the heart is not in the center. So just because all the planets revolve about the sun doesn't mean that the Klal Yisrael and the Torah, which is all the way in a corner, in a dinkle somewhere, is not the purpose of the Bria. That's the first pasuk in Bereishis. Bereishis, Bishvil Yisrael, Bishvil HaTorah. That's the tachlis of the whole Bria. We happen to be in a little corner of this Bria. But the whole, in below Bria, Yamim Valayla, Chukashemayim, it's like something. If not for the Bris HaTorah, if not for the fact that the Jews are learning Torah, and not for the fact that the Jews are keeping mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have created this whole world. The purpose of the whole world was Bishvil HaTorah, Bishvil HaMitzvah. The Rambam has an interesting concept in Hilchas Tshuva of Menias HaTshuva. Sometimes a person sins so much, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes him that he suspends partially his Bechira Chavshis. The person still has Bechira Chavshis, but he suspends partially his Bechira Chavshis. He limits it, but he doesn't give him the ability to be Chayzer B'Tshuva. So the Rambam Midrashim, which interpret that's what it means, the Eitz HaChayim, because the Pashup Shat and the Pasuk is not to be understood. The Pesukim say that Adam and Chava sin by eating from the Eitz HaDaas. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned they're going to go run to the eat from the Eitz HaChayim for Ochal B'Chay Li'Olam. I want to punish him. Kiviyam HaKadosh Menem Bo'istamus. If you eat from the Eitz HaDaas, you're going to die. You're going to be punished. And he has a way to avoid God's punishment. If he's going to run quickly to eat from the Eitz HaChayim, I will not be able to punish him. How is that possible? Even a man has the ability to hide out from God. There's a trick. there's a method where man can avoid punishment from God. There is no such thing. So what does the pasuk mean? It's very strange. So the Baruch Hu had to run quickly to send angels to prevent other Marishim from eating from the Eitz Hadaat, from the Eitz HaChayim, in order that God should be able to punish him. That's what it sounds like, the Pashup Shad and Pashup. So it's very, very not to be understood. So the Targum Yonis and Ben Uziel and the Radha Midrashim interpret that this Eitz HaChayim means the Koyach HaTshuva. The Baruch Hu at this time didn't want other Marishim to do Tshuva and get off scot-free. Normally a person does tshuva, so everything is wiped off. If he does a tshuva gemur, if he does a tshuva mi'ava, everything is wiped off and it's even better than it was before. But the Rabban Shalom did punish Adam. He punished everybody. Everybody's all going to die all because of this chet of Adam Arishan. So the Rabban Shalom did over here a partial menias ha-tshuva. He suspended his full bechira chavshis. So Adam Arishan only has partial bechira chavshis. He doesn't have the ability to do a tshuva shleima. The Midrashim speak about the fact that Adam Arishan did do tshuva. On Shabbos, he sinned on Erev Shabbos, and on Shabbos he already did tshuva, and then he realized the koyach of Shabbos was so powerful, so he composed Miz Mishili on Shabbos. Tov lahodos l'Hashem. That's how the Medrash understands lahodos means to recite vidui. That he recited vidui on Shabbos, and his tshuva was accepted, and after Cain killed his brother Hevel, and he met his father and he said, what can I do? I did such a terrible thing, what should I do? So the Marishan says, do the same as I did tshuva, you do tshuva also, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make a deal with you. That's how the expression is in the Medrash. Asisi tshuva minis parsharti im koni. I made a pshara. The pshara because he didn't do a tshuva shlema. That's why if he would have done a tshuva shlema, it wouldn't have been a pshara. He would have been back in Gan Eden. Apparently the Rabbanu Shalom suspended partially his bechira chavshis. He didn't allow him to do a tshuva shlema. So true, the Midrashim say that Adam Rishon did tshuva, and Cain also did tshuva, but he didn't have the ability to do a tshuva shlema. The Ramban has in his commentary on Chumash an interpretation of the pasuk when Cain was being punished. He realizes his sin is so great, his punishment will have to be Miponecha Esoser. I will have to hide from the presence of Hashem. And the pasuk says that's exactly what his punishment was. Vayetzei Kain milifnei Hashem. Kain left the presence of God. So what does that mean? Is if the Rebbeinu Shlom is only in this room, and whoever leaves the room, the Rebbeinu Shlom can't see him. There is no place to hide from God. What does it mean? So the Ramban has great difficulty with this phrase in the pasuk. So he says that he thinks what it means is the following. When a person davens, or when a person brings a korban, al pidin, we consider him as being lifnei Hashem, in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Kayan understood that his punishment would consist of the fact he would no longer be allowed that privilege to be in the state of lifnei Hashem. The Rebbeinu Shlom, wherever he's going to go, he's going to hide in the North Pole, the South Pole, in Afghanistan, wherever he's going to hide, the Rebbeinu Shlom knows where he is. He can't hide from the Rebbeinu Shlom. But what it means is, he will not be given, he will no longer have the privilege to daven, that the Rebbeinu Shalom should, whenever we daven, it's a privilege. The Rebbeinu Shalom says he's going to listen to the prayers. He may say yes, he may say no, but at least he listens. Yishamea tefilo. And when we bring a korban, the Rebbeinu Shalom accepts the korban. If it's a kosher korban, he accepts the korban. So these two, tefilo and korban, are called lifnei Hashem. So the pasuk says that indeed was his punishment. Yetzikayim lifnei Hashem, he lost that privilege. He no longer has the right to be lifnei Hashem. Some of the Balei Musa point that when Cain and Hevel brought karbanos, so the pasuk sounds like it says Vayave Cain, Vayim Ikeitz Yamin. Chapter Dalit Pasuk Gimel. Vayove Kain the Priyo Adam and Minchal Hashem. Kain brought a korban. The Hevel gave Hevi Gamhu, and he also brought a korban. So I think the Sfarno has this, and the Balei Musa picks it up. That it sounds from the pasuk that the original idea was really Kain's. The Midrashim have, the Gemara has in Medrash, that Adam Arishan also brought korbanos. But on this occasion, it says that the original idea seems to have been that of Kain. Hevel was not such an original thinker. But after he saw that Kayin brought Karbonis, so he went along. Hevel Hevi Gamhu, he too went along. And then he brought, his Karbon was even nicer than Kayin's. He brought Mibcharis Tzainoi, from the firstborn, Umeichel Vehen, and from the choice, from the Mubchor. And Kayin didn't bring Minam Mubchor. Why? Because Kayin understood that this is only symbolic. We're going to burn a Karbon on this earth, and the smoke is going to go up to the sky, as if God is in the heavens above. God is not in the heavens. God is not in the sky up over there. So it's like when you burn a carpet and the smoke goes up, as if it's delivered, as if the gift is delivered to the Baruch Shalom. You know, the Baruch Shalom makes a difference whether it's delicious carbon or delicious fruits and vegetables or spoiled. So it's only a symbolic act anyway. It's not really a matana. The Baruch Shalom is going to enjoy it better. It tastes better if you burn delicious fruits and vegetables, so the smoke is better. It's the same smoke. It doesn't make a difference. The Kayin held, logically, it does make a difference that he brought min hagarua. He brought inferior quality because it's only a symbolic act anyway. And Hevel didn't think of the whole idea of bringing korbanos. But when he saw his brother doing it, he picked up on that. And he did it in a more correct fashion. He brought the b'choris tono and michal vein, that there is a din of hida mitzvah. That if you do a hidur, if you have more beautiful tefillin, and more people like to have polished shoes. I don't know now, years ago, when I was growing up, people like to have nice clothing. Now they spend extra money to buy dungarees that are already worn out and destroyed when they buy them. That's the heathen, to look sloppy. That's Mishugoy. But normal people want to look like normal. So you spend extra money to buy nice clothing, to have nice polished shoes, to have a nice hat, to get a nice haircut, to look normal. So that's what Hevel understood. True, as far as the Ribbono Shel Olam is concerned, it does make a difference. It's just smoke anyway burning. True, it's only symbolic. But if you mechabe, the mitzvah is considered that you mechabe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how the Medrash has an expression. All of the mitzvahs are shluchim shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. If they're shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and shluchim shel Adam kemoisai, so whoever is mechabe, kabdu es ha-mitzvahs, if you mechabe the mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch will consider it as if you are mechabed him. This is an indirect way to be mechabed HaKadosh Baruch. So just like we like to have nicely polished shoes, we should have nice tefillin. They should be kosher, a mahadrim, and a talis, and so on, and sukkah. Everything should be beautiful with noye sukkah. So this is what the Bali Musa point out. It's not so important to be an original thinker, to come up with new ideas in Avodas Hashem. If you're not so original, if you're not such a big genius, look at others and see what they're doing and follow the way they do. What's more important is to do things in a proper fashion, to be oizgehalt. There are guys who learn, there are people who are geniuses, but they don't spend so much time learning. They spend a little time, they come up with a good kasha, come up with a good teretz, they don't review. They don't do anything in a mesudadik fashion. At the end of the year, they're left with nothing. They're left with a sharp mind, that's all, but they're left with no knowledge because they didn't try to absorb all the information. There are other people not such geniuses. They don't have any original ideas. They don't come up with any good kash, they don't come up with any good terutzim. But they do their homework. They prepare in advance for the shiur, and they review the shiur, and they write notes, and they study for an exam. At the end of the year, they'll have the 40 block gemara under their belt. They'll remember. It's more important to be oizgehalten, to do something properly, than to be an original thinker. You have in all of life, you have like that. You have Vilde Iluim, you have big geniuses who are not necessarily a blessing to the world, not necessarily a blessing to mankind. They always come up with wild ideas which are often incorrect, and even if they are correct, but they don't work on it to polish it up. So that was the difference between Kayin and Hevel. Kayin was an original thinker. He thought it's time to bring a carbon, but he didn't work out all the details properly. His carbon was not accepted, because he didn't bring Mina Mufcha, he brought Mina Garua. And Hevel seems was not the original thinker, but because he saw Kain bringing a carbon, and then he thought about it for a while, and he thought that the proper thing would be to do it in a bit more covetic fashion, with a Hida Mitzvah. So his carbon was accepted. Then the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Kain, you have the ability to do tshuva. Everybody has the kishvanis to do tshuva. However far a person has gone, whatever stage in life a person is holding by, he always has the ability to do tshuva. A person can be a tzadik gomer. The Mishnah says, "Al tamim yatz mechad yoy moischo." You shouldn't assume that just because you're brought up in a religious home for the last 20 years, that means you're going to be religious for the rest of your life. Not necessarily so. There were people who were observant for 80 years of their life, and then they became apikursim at the age of 80. You have people who are rishoyim for the first 80 years, and then they become tzaddikim. They can do tshuva. People can always change in either direction. People have bechira chavshis 100% all the way along. You should never assume that you're too foregone, you cannot do tshuva. And a person should never assume, I am such a big tzaddik, and my grandfather was such a famous chassidish rebbe, and I was brought up in such a religious home, nothing will ever happen to me. Not so. A person can turn out to be the biggest rosh in the world. The zchus of it does not. Everybody has the bechira chavshis to do the teva or the ra. That's a recurrent theme in Parshas Bereishis. Because Bereishis is speaking about the creation of man. So this is essential, this is crucial to the definition of what man is all about. Man is a chetz of bechira chavshis. And the Parsha concludes at the end of Bereishis, Kadosh Baruch Hu is so upset. I want to destroy all the people because they sin, and he's also going to destroy the behemoths and the remes and the of HaShemayim. Why do the behemoths and the remes and the of HaShemayim, why do they deserve a punishment? What do they sin? So Rashi has two pshat. So one pshat is from the Medrash, they also did sins. The other pshat is you don't even have to say they sinned. The whole purpose of the creation of the whole world was for Adam HaRishon. Why was Adam HaRishon created last? From all the things that were created, Adam was created last. And the Medrash says, like a person who prepares a meal, and then after everything, after the tables are set, and all the food is cooked, and all the waiters are ready, and all dressed, and so on, and all the chandeliers are lit, so then you invite the guests to come in. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a whole beautiful world for the human beings, the whole tachlis of the Bria. Even though human beings are all around the side, you have all this big world with all these galaxies, with all these stars and universes and everything. But everything was created b'shvil Yisrael b'shvil HaTorah. And once the Jews and the non-Jews, once the people are going to sin, they mekalkal the whole world. So Rav Shlom says, so what purpose is there for the whole world? Kim shehu kolet. Since man has sinned, matzorah be'ela. What do I need the whole world for? The whole world is in order to serve the purpose of man. There's such a medrash on Koheles, on the pasuk in Koheles. The Mesivas Hashem quotes in the introduction to his sefer that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, he showed him around Gan Eden. He says, you see all these beautiful trees, everything was created for your purpose. If you'll keep my mitzvahs, man was created liyobdo l'shamra. He was created with a purpose, and the whole world was for a purpose. If you keep the mitzvahs, it'll be a wonderful world. If you'll violate the averis, you'll be destroying this whole beautiful world. So that's how the parsha ends off. And off with the introduction to the Mabul. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, man is sinning. Man is sinning, so the whole purpose of the world is not being fulfilled. So I don't need the whole world. It's time to destroy the whole world.
This one's yours and this one's
yours. Thank you very much.